1. Why bother to act right? May I view and long after holiness as the beauty and dignity of the soul. From a Puritan prayer. David barely squeezed his large frame snugly between the arms of my chair in my office. His eyes brimming with tears, he poured out his pain. I've tried everything, Leslie. For the past 2 years, I've read books on how to be a good husband, a godly man, and an effective father. I've gone to Promise Keepers, Bible studies, and my pastor for help. But it isn't working, and I'm so tired. My wife, Julie, still doesn't want anything to do with me. I feel like giving up. Nothing is happening. David's heart is breaking. His marriage is in trouble, and he's not sure if anything he can do will ever change it to be what he desires. David expresses the sorrow of many who see nothing in their marriage change. Even when they have tried to act right when their spouse acts wrong, they try hard, often with marathon efforts, but their spouse doesn't respond the way they hope. Their marriage is still distant, painful, full of conflict, or superficially pleasant, but emotionally cold. David believed God would change his spouse if only he learned to act right. Isn't that what we've been taught? If we do the right thing, then our marriage will get better. Carrie thought so. Her husband had an affair with a coworker. When Sam confessed it, she tried to respond in the right way. She went to counseling, expressed her feelings, forgave her husband, and in every way attempted to reconcile her marriage. Her husband even agreed to come home. Then they found out his coworker was pregnant. The bitter irony was that Carrie and Sam had tried unsuccessfully to have children. Sam divorced Carrie and married the other woman. Carrie was devastated. She had tried with all her heart to do it right. What happened? Hadn't God promised to give her the desires of her heart? Carrie felt God had let her down. Over the years, I have heard variations of these stories again and again. We pray hard and read our Bible and other books, trying this or that, looking expectantly for our spouse to soften, change, forgive us, or repent. When that doesn't happen, like David or Carrie, we can become angry, discouraged, and disillusioned. We are tempted to give up on our marriage, and sometimes on our faith, and conclude that God and His principles are impotent. We think, why bother? It won't do any good anyway. Perhaps that's why you've picked up this book. Perhaps you are still looking for the technique that will improve your marriage. You want something, anything, to make your spouse change or to turn your marriage into something more like what God says it should be. These desires are good and legitimate, and all of us who are married have them. Often as we grow and learn how to love our husband or wife in more Christ-like ways, our spouse notices, responds positively, and our marriage does improve. But sometimes it doesn't. David's comment rang true. Nothing significant was changing in his marriage. Julie was still angry with him over some old wounds he'd inflicted years earlier. She was still unresponsive sexually and not interested in working either on her own attitude or their marriage. So why continue trying? David wondered. And what am I trying for? Just like David, we might conclude nothing is happening. Or is it? Acting right when our spouse acts wrong is good for us. These painful kinds of experiences often cause us to begin asking God some important questions. Most of the time, we start by asking Him a lot of why questions. Why is this happening to me? Why should I bother trying when there doesn't seem to be any marital improvement or change in my spouse? Talking with God about our troubles is good, and He welcomes a heart that seeks to understand His purposes. Jesus always responded to others' questions, especially those that came from people who were genuinely looking for truth. When God gives us His answers, however, we may not always like what He tells us. As most children do, I often asked my father, why? Why couldn't I stay out until 1 o'clock in the morning? Why did I have to stay home and work around the house? His two favorite responses were because I said so and because it's good for you. I never liked either one of those answers.